together in this series, all the judgments of God, all the vials poured out, all the tribulation and judgments. What a great verse to read. Verse 4, and I perceived thrones. I perceived thrones. Ah, yes, there's going to be some righteous rule going on here. But then, in a sense, we're thrown back into the trouble here, and they are seated on them, and judgment was granted to them. Ah, well, I take that back. No, I'm going to take that back because, see, there's, even in me still, there's that predisposition to associate judgment with terror, judgment with wrong, to associate judgment with unrighteousness. And yet, finally, we have thrones, and seated on them are righteous people. Seated on these thrones are the souls of those executed because of the testimony of Jesus. That is the polar opposite of those in Babylon. They weren't executed because of the testimony of Jesus. No, they rejected the testimony of Jesus, and they were allowed to live. They were allowed to thrive. They were allowed to enjoy the juicy fruit of their desires, the juicy fruits. The juicy fruits, and juicy fruit was probably part of their cache of stuff. And so, in the meantime, we had so many opposite things happening. Remember, there were those who mourned the destruction of Babylon. There were those who celebrated the destruction of Babylon. And during the time of the heyday of the wild beast, there are those who are living high on the hog, who have the seal of approval of the wild beast, the mark, and they're buying and they're selling and they're having a good time. In the meantime, there are those, even in Israel, who are hiding in the hills, who are being nourished miraculously by God. There are those who are suffering, who are destitute, and yes, those who are executed because of the testimony of Jesus. Now everything's turned around, and now those who are executed are on thrones. What an amazing two words to see together in the same context. I perceive thrones. Wow. Thrones over the earth. Who's seated on those thrones? Those who were executed. What? What a contrast. The last thing you know, like Stephen yesterday, you're executed, you're in a stoning pit, and then you wake up and you're in the kingdom and you have a throne. That is so great. I love that happy contrast. That's a juicy fruit contrast to me. And our contrast is no different. We have the contrast of going to sleep. My friend Charlie Kronk, who I mentioned yesterday, he went to sleep, the sleep of death, racked with cancer, liver cancer. Nelson Cardwell, same freaking cancer. They all became emaciated in the last of their days, and they could barely talk. They couldn't talk in the last analysis. And then they're going to be snatched away with new bodies, and they're going to see the Apostle Paul. They're going to be reunited with me, with their believing family members. It's going to be a spectacular contrast. In the meantime, those who are having their heyday now on earth, who don't care a whit about God and Christ, they're not going to be there. And now we get to verse 5. Where are they going to be? I'm going to tell you here in a second. The rest of the dead do not live until the 1,000 years should be finished. This is the former resurrection. Let me read the whole context there. Okay? Going back to verse 4. And I perceived thrones, and they are seated on them, and judgment was granted them. And the souls of those executed because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who do not worship the wild beast or its image and did not get the emblem on their forehead and on their hand, they also live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead, that includes a lot of people. Who's the rest of the dead? Everybody else? I'll tell you who the rest of the dead does not include. It does not include people who are alive, obviously, and there are going to be people alive walking through the curtain of Aeon 3 and 4. They're going to enter Aeon 4 alive. There are going to be those like the 144,000 who will enter that kingdom as and being made immortal, and they will be rulers and reigners, and they will be saints. And there are those who just survived, the rabble who survived the day of indignation, survived the 7 years of tribulation. There are other nations alive here, and citizens of those nations who will be dispersed among the earth. They enter the new earth as mortals. So this is the first time, really, that you have a widespread mingling of mortals and immortals on the earth. It's going to be an amazing thing. Imagine that, a mortal and an immortal passing on the street. Hey, how's it going? Ooh, talk about racism. In the 60s in the United States, in the 50s, we had a terrible racism where you segregated the whites from the blacks. Horrible. And that's going to be done away with. But we do acknowledge a difference in the races. There's a black man, there's a white man, there's a Chinese man, men and women. Extreme differences in the genders. Here, to me, is the ultimate difference, is you have mortals and immortals. So we're not going to have separate water fountains. You know, mortals only can drink from this water fountain. The immortals drink from here. No, you will have them commingling. Not illicitly, and yet they will be on the same planet. I think that's fascinating. And this is one of the phenomenon of the thousand-year kingdom on this present earth. So it's the rest of the dead. The rest of the dead does not include the people who are alive, who walk into that kingdom. Does not include the resurrected saints of Israel and the proselytes of Israel. It does not include members of the body of Christ who have been snatched away and who are at this time living. At this time, yes, we are living with Christ, seated at the right hand of God in the celestial realm. So it's everybody else. That's a lot of people. That's every single person who has died from Adam. They don't live until the thousand years are finished. So they're not going to be in the thousand years. Very clear here. They're dead during the thousand years. This includes the unfaithful of Israel of every age. It includes your Caiaphases, your Judases, your Romans, all the heathen nations, all the people who died ever. They're not going to live until the thousand years are finished. And what I just described to you, the Israel saints rising and living 144,000, well, no, this doesn't count them. Only those who are resurrected are part of the former resurrection. And it's named here in verse 5. Love this statement. This is the former resurrection. Simple. That's a quote from the scriptures. This is the former resurrection. What's the former resurrection? When Peter, James, and John raised from the dead, and when the recently dead raised from the dead. It's called the former resurrection. To distinguish it from other resurrections. Very cagey language here. There are other resurrections. For instance, we have a resurrection, but it's not named here. It's not known here. Probably here it's distinguishing it from the resurrection that will occur later in this chapter at the Great White Throne. That's what I'm thinking now. This is a resurrection to life. And that resurrection of the Great White Throne will also be some to life, some to the second death. We're going to analyze that in great detail and specificity soon. Verse 6. Happy and holy is he who is having part in the former resurrection. Over these, the second death has no jurisdiction. Sure, that should be self-evident, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will be reigning with him the thousand years. That takes us to the end of verse 6 of the unveiling, chapter 20. They will be priests of God. This tells us that primarily the kingdom that is coming on earth will be a priesthood. Now, I said that Revelation is all about religion and politics. It's about the usurping of false religion and politics, that is, human religion and politics, for God's religion and politics. But this tells us that the main emphasis is going to be religion, because Israel acts as a priesthood. Now, two different time periods are given to us in connection with the reign of the circumcision saints on the earth. Okay? We read that they are going to be priests of God and of Christ, and that they will be reigning with him the thousand years. Reign speaks of kingship. Revelation 26. They will be reigning with him. But they're also going to be a priesthood. That's what we read later on. We read later on in 22:5, haven't gotten there yet, that they will reign for the eons of the eons. Here we read that they will be priests of God and of Christ. I hope you understand that's two different things. A priesthood is a go-between. And the one who sits on a throne is not a priest. One who sits on a throne is a king. But we will have the perfect amalgamation of priesthood and kingship, but mainly priesthood. And what I'm telling you now is the positive side of the millennium. I want to quote you a sentence from A. E. Nock here in the book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. This is a pretty interesting statement. He says, this is the positive side, that is the ruling and the reigning of the saints. This is the positive side of the millennial experiment, unquote. The millennial experiment. I like that. Because what we have seen in the past as the ultimate thing God is driving toward is actually an experiment upon humanity. And I told you before how one aspect of the experiment is to show humanity a bit of itself, a bit of its own heart, by taking away the influence of evil and finding that humanity is still ready to rebel against God. So the problem is not the presence or the removal of evil. The problem is and always has been and must be shown to be man's own heart. The heart of humanity is deceitfully wicked. And even when the numero uno bad guy, Satan, is bound, that still comes forward. What's the role of God's priests? To minister to all the nations, to mediate between them and Jehovah. That's the whole idea. So humanity has, for its whole existence, been, if I can put it this way, the sport of spirit powers. Spirit powers like to mess with humanity. And has lacked, also, humanity has lacked the restraint of good government. So that could be also the accusation. We've never had a good government. So now you're going to have a good government, the best government. And now, humanity, you're not only going to have the best government, you're going to have a priesthood that is going to teach you the ways of Christ most accurately. Also, you're going to have the removal of Satan, bound for 1,000 years. I tell you all this in anticipation of the verse I'm probably going to bring you tomorrow, where after the 1,000 years should be finished, Satan will be loosed out of his jail and he will be coming out to deceive all the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. What? You've got to be kidding me. That's the thing I've been referencing, I've been hinting at for a long time here. How could that be when you have a priesthood and you have people on thrones and you have Satan locked away? Because it's part of the millennial experiment. It still can be said an experiment. So the ideal opportunity demands, here's the ideal, demands not only the removal of every evil influence, but that it be replaced by good. So it's not only that you have to lock away Satan. That's a negative thing. It's a positive thing, but it's a negative thing in the sense that what are you going to replace it with? Sure, you got rid of Satan. What are you going to replace it with? Oh, yeah. What are we going to replace it with? We're going to replace it with a perfect priesthood. We're going to replace it with the nations being taught the works and the ways of God by a perfect and a perfected priesthood. That's what we're going to do. How's that? Because now, finally, there is going to be a visible, this is what everybody's been looking for now, but it's not going to happen until then. There's finally going to be a visible manifestation of God's power and his glory in all the earth, especially in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem will be the headquarters. And here's an interesting thing. Before the continents drifted in the days of Peleg, we read that in Genesis, the earth split at the rivers, at the main rivers of what we then referred to as Mesopotamia, the Fertile Crescent, the earth, the continents began to drift in the days of Peleg. There was a great disruption, and the continental shelves broke, snapped, and the continents drifted away. Before that happened, if you put all the continents together, it's more easy to see, easier to see that Jerusalem is indeed the center of the earth, was the center of that unified continent, the unicontinent, the one continent. It's easier to see that Jerusalem was the center. So Jerusalem is once again going to be the center of the earth. I'm not saying the continents are going to drift back together. I don't think that's going to happen. Who knows? There's going to be a great earthquake. That'd be kind of cool if it was restored in that way. But there's going to be a perfect priesthood to replace the reign of Satan upon the earth. And after the 1,000 years, in the new earth, there won't even be priests. We're not there yet. But there's, in fact, there's not even a temple. A temple presupposes a priesthood. But if you have no temple, then you can't have a priesthood, because at that time, God himself is going to tabernacle with mankind. So tomorrow we'll get into the two distinguishing features of priesthood and of kinghood, the difference between the thousand years and the new heavens and the new earth. Many don't even appreciate the fact that there are two time periods coming up, that the tribulation and the end of this eon will introduce a new eon, but there's an eon after that. Israel reigns as priests in the millennium, and they reign as kings only. They're priests and kings in the millennium. They are kings only on the new earth. It's a great experiment coming up, in that humanity is shown for the last freaking time that it has nothing to do with environment that made you the way you are or didn't allow you to fulfill your full potential. It was something that was inside of you that needs changed. To prove that to you, we're not only getting rid of Satan, but we're replacing it with a priesthood where people sit on, where immortal people sit on thrones, and you're still going to succumb to incredibly, you're going to succumb to the wiles of Satan the second he's let out of jail. Let that be a lesson to you all you people in Gog and Magog living in that era. All right, let that be a lesson to them. As for us, we are the privileged ones right now. We're in the trail end of this eon, and we are going to be among the celestials when this great transfer of power takes place, the power transferred from humanity to God. And we are going to be enjoying a similar transfer of power. Because not only is there a transfer of power on the earth, where the bad governments and the bad priesthoods, the bad Catholics of humanity are displaced by the good government and the good priesthood, but also in the heavens, ladies and gentlemen, there are evil politics and evil priesthoods going on right now in the celestial realm. Spirit beings are running things. We are going there to displace them, just as Israel is being raised on the earth to displace the governments and the priesthoods of this present darkness. There's darkness on the earth, and there's darkness in the heavens. Both darknesses will be replaced with good government by God's respect.